Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
To the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of what must be a busy schedule for you and all of us to join us on the broadcast today. This is the holiest week for Christians all around the world, and for the next two programs, today and Thursday, I'm going to focus in on the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the heart of our Christian faith. And yesterday was Palm Sunday, which signified Jesus' triumphant journey and entrance into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, which was prophesied hundreds of years ago. Today on the broadcast, I want to take the aspect of that gospel that saves us, the death of Christ, his crucifixion. Christ died for our sins, the Bible says, was buried and rose again the third day. Today I want to take us to the Old Testament to show us the rich typology in the book of Exodus, which is a perfect and yet beautiful foreshadow of the crucifixion. Jesus as the Passover lamb. The Jewish faith celebrates Hashem's victory over the Pharaoh when he led them victoriously out of Egypt to cross triumphantly across the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. But Hashem instructed them specifically on how the Israelites were to survive the great judgment that was coming upon Pharaoh in Egypt. And it's called the Passover. Jesus is also called the Passover Lamb because in the New Testament, the night before his crucifixion, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples and infused the correct and new meaning into the Passover when he talked about his body and his blood. But right now I want us to turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12 and to look very carefully at the beauty of this typology. Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbors shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. What is this rich ceremony all about? It prefigures the crucifixion of Christ. Remember, John the Baptist, in seeing the Messiah, said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The Passover lamb was the animal God directed the Israelites to use as a sacrifice in Egypt on the night God struck down the firstborn sons of every household. This was the final plague that God had issued against Pharaoh, and it led to Pharaoh releasing the Israelites from slavery. After that fateful night, God instructed the Israelites to observe the Passover feast as a lasting memorial. God instructed every household, Israelite people, to select a year-old male lamb without defect. The head of the household was to slaughter the lamb at twilight, taking care that none of its bones were broken, and apply some of its blood to the tops and sides of the doorframe of the house. The lamb was to be roasted and eaten. God gave specific instructions as to how the Israelites were to eat the lamb, quote, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. In other words, they had to be ready to travel. God said that when he saw the lamb's blood on the doorframe of a house, he would pass over that house and not permit the destroyer to enter, thus the term Passover. Any home without the blood of the lamb would have their firstborn son struck down that night. It's very clear the typology here and the fulfillment by the Messiah. The New Testament establishes a relationship between this prototypical Passover lamb and the consummate Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. And as I said before, the prophet John the Baptist, upon seeing Jesus that day, recognized him as the Lamb of God. The apostle Peter links the lamb without defect with Christ, whom he calls a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus is qualified to be called one without blemish because his life was completely free from sin. In the book of Revelation, John the Apostle sees Jesus as the lamb, looking as if it had been slain. Jesus was crucified during the time that the Passover was observed. The Bible says believers have symbolically applied the sacrificial blood of Christ to their hearts and thus have escaped eternal death. Just as the Passover lamb's blood caused the destroyer to pass over each household, Christ's applied blood, if you will, causes God's judgment to pass over sinners and give life to all believers. As the first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery, so the death of Christ marks our release from the slavery of sin, as the first Passover was to be held in remembrance as an annual feast, so Christians are to memorialize the Lord's death in communion until he comes again. The Old Testament Passover lamb, although a reality in that time, was a mere foreshadowing of the better and final Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. The richness of this feast, yet observed today by all Jewish people, I pray that their eyes would be open to behold that Jesus is the fulfillment. It is the prototype. It is the fulfillment of the great Passover feast. Another very rich passage we're going to look at today as we prepare our hearts for Easter is from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. This particular prophecy, this particular abundant verses of scripture has been used mightily throughout all of history in the early church up until this time to bring many Jewish people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want us to hear the wonders, the awestruck language of this beautiful chapter all about the crucifixion. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we have, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for this transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You have to read and use your imagination and let the Spirit open your eyes to the beautiful, absolute, unbelievable fulfillment of this Old Testament passage as it's fulfilled graphically in the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible teaches here in Isaiah 53:4 that the suffering servant doesn't give us a picture of someone forgiving sins themselves. It does tell us that the servant suffered in our place, verse 4, bore the punishment for our sins and even the sin itself, verses 11 and 12, interceded on our behalf. This passage is really about humanity's atonement, our reconciliation with God. If the suffering servant was about someone who had already lived and died prior to Jesus, that would seem to imply that at least Israel already had a restored relationship with God. But I want us to look at the many places in the New Testament that references Isaiah 53 as being a fulfillment in the life of Jesus the Messiah. The Gospel of Matthew quotes Isaiah 53:4 in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. That was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, quote, "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." Luke 22, verses 36 through 38. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus quotes Isaiah 53:12. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." Quote, "It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what was written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied. In Peter, 1 Peter 2, 19 through 29, Peter quotes from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 and verse 9. "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Quote, "He committed no sin, and no sin or deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." 1 Peter 2, 24, quoting directly from Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, 32 through 35, Philip encounters a eunuch who happens to be reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. The eunuch asks Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is a beautiful fulfillment in the life of Jesus. It is fulfilled in his life, death, and in his resurrection. I want to point out the Messiah was not some fierce warrior who came to overthrow the Roman government. He was a humble servant who would save the world through his suffering. The richness and the beauty of this intense chapter is fulfilled in the life of Christ. I want us to take just a few minutes to reflect on this through an incredible song performed by the Newsboys, "You Are My King." Thank you.
forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King,
Newsboys singing a song of worship today. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Going back to Exodus chapter 12, I want to read these verses because they're so central to what I've been saying this morning. God says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. They were commanded to smear the blood above their doorposts, and the death angel would pass by. In the same way, when we apply the truth of the gospel to our lives, when we bow our knees in worship and trust in Christ, it's as if his blood is cleansing us like it did that night in Egypt over the frames of the houses of the Egyptian Israelites in Egypt. His blood applied to our lives cleanses us from all of our guilt and shame. And God's judgment passes over us when we apply the precious blood of the Lamb to our lives in faith. And this is what the Passover is all about. When we recognize our need for a Savior, and we understand that God is a holy God that must punish and judge sin, when we apply the blood of Christ symbolically in our lives through faith in the gospel, God no longer judges us. He forgives us. He cleanses us. He restores us because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. That's what this Holy Week is about. Christ died for our sins as a perfect, precious lamb in our place. This is what this week is all about. But on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. He didn't stay dead in the tomb. He rose again victorious as Lord of heaven and earth. I want to thank you today for joining me on this important program as we prepare our hearts for Easter and look back at how God has prepared for you and me a perfect Savior who loves us with a perfect, perfect love. I want to thank you, and I pray that you will join me again on Thursday as we explore the rich meaning behind Jesus' victorious death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. I want you to have a great week, and I will see you again Thursday on the cross in the desert.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing. Because